For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
Now, look, I think you'd know this about me already, but I am a clumsy girl.
I wouldn't say you're necessarily clumsy.
I think I've had three falls in the last 9 months that we've been here. That I've been here.
How What's many a poor fall, adults? Though?
Tripping over. I've fallen up the stairs. I had to poo bear over the bin.
There's so much backstory for that one, but unfortunately, we don't have time.
We just don't have time.
I wouldn't say you're at the age where you haven't a fall.
No,
yet.
Thank you.
Because there's definitely a time where you go from tripping over to. Oh, Dave, I had a fall. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, oh, no, is she okay?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Who's looking after her on the weekends? But you're not there. I wouldn't say you're clumsy, but yes, but you've brought a few things where it's like I've taken a tumble. You're a tumbler.
I'm a tumbler, 2011 sort of style. You know what I mean? But no, I have taken I do fall over a bit and I trip over quite a bit and it's just not great. And I just wanted to talk about like the sort of the psychology of what happens to you.
I like the process of you emotionally where you're at during a trip.
Yeah. So it's kind of like when you have had a fall, you like for me, I jump up as quick as possible. You will never be better than the second after you've had a trip. Like in your life, there'll never be a time where you are
more resilient.
Resilient, yep. Up and about, happier. You're laughing, usually a bit manic.
Look past things, you know, really persevere. In a moment of severe weakness.
Yeah. And I mean, it's kind of like you're holding back tears. Your face is red. Your eyes are watering. You might be sweating some forehead beads.
You get a bit hot.
Yeah.
But it's embarrassment.
You'll never be better. So the other week when I had a little trip up the stairs, I was at my apartment building and old mate Murray, who lives at my apartment building, is a caretaker and he's a legend.
He's not your, sorry, just I can't stress enough. He's not your caretaker, caretaker of the building that you live in. Because I did,
no.
It is after, especially what you're speaking about now, it would be safe to probably assume you might have someone that cares for you outside of these walls.
Yeah, and I think, you know, unfortunately for you in my life here in Geelong, you are my caretaker, Tim.
But honestly, I would be getting the better end of that deal. I'm yet to take too much care of
you. Yes, and thank goodness for that.
It's a good contract to be on.
It wouldn't be good for me either. You know what I mean? But yes, I jumped up after this fall and I've manically laughed. Like, oh my gosh, Murray's looking at me. I'm looking at him.
In front of someone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you've never been better. And it was almost like, how's your day going? And I literally was like, fantastic. Honestly, great. I'm having a great day.
Couldn't be better.
Couldn't be better. Why do we do that?
Why do we do that? Or is that because sometimes, depending on where I am, if I take a fall, sometimes I'm down. And it's not down because I'm out. It's down because it's like, well, life. And it's kind of just like, you know, you just lie there and you're like, yep. And it's like maybe that's a telling tale of both who you and I are. But I think if you're in public and you trip, it's as up as you quickly get. If you're fine, obviously if you've hurt yourself, you try and get up, oh, I think I've broken something.
But even if you have hurt yourself, you're going to act like nothing's happened.
But if I'm tripping at home, if I'm tripping in my solo alone time, if I'm tripping around my family, it's defeat. It's down, it's out. It's, hey, just leave me here for a bit. It's like, I'm not embarrassed. I just need a minute. Yeah. I'm not angry. I'm not upset. I'm probably just disappointed.
And disappointed. And,
In myself. Because, you know, when you're in your 30s, I don't think other than being on your bed or like some kind of sofa or couch, you should be horizontal. You know, I don't think lying on the ground, unless you're, you know, being put in a coffin, you shouldn't be lying
the
down.
The only two options.
Tim and Davo.
I've encountered a problem probably in the last 10 years of my life, and it gets worse every single year. And it's not my baldness, I'll tell you right now. It's not my receding hairline.
You've got a lush head of hair, man.
Oh, yeah, it's just the back gates, like, moving further and further away from the front yard. But
that's why you're bringing it forward, which is a great little tactic.
I'm going to Turkey in a few months.
No.
When I have a certain foods later in the day and at night time, the next morning I wake up with what I call sugar throat. Now, my wife has been a big... What's the opposite of an advocate?
Just not keen.
She's not been an audience to my conversation that sugar throat is a thing. Even so, like last night, you know, big day, whatever. After dinner, mini apple pie in the air fryer, bit of ice cream. And lovely. I was like, oh, well, you know, going to make the hard sacrifice here. Have this little apple pie and ice cream, knowing I'll wake up with sugar throat in the morning. Even though I brush my teeth for 2 minutes, water, you know, do the whole kit and caboodle, I'll always wake up with sugar throat.
Now, can you explain to me what sugar throat is? I mean, I have heard about it because you have brought it to me many times in the morning.
So it's like it hurts, but it's not, you're not sick, and it's just like,
oh,
you know what I mean? Sugar throat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's a real, I don't know medically if that's the right term, sugar throat, but I think people out there across Geelong, I think sugar throat is a real thing. And I just want someone else to call up and say, hey, Tim, yeah, I also get sugar throat.
No, I think it's right. Like, because if I have a can of full sugar Coke, right?
Whoa.
Which doesn't happen Sorry. Often.
no need to judge. Sorry, that's my bad.
But when it happens, I will get that sugar throat. I know what you mean. But you're talking about 12 hours later. Yeah. You're talking about 14 hours later.
So literally, it'll feel better 10 minutes after I've had the ice cream / apple pie / cheesecake / chocolate / cookies biscuits. / biscuits. And then when I wake up, that's when it's like, it's kind of like a sponge that's absorbed it. And it's like absolutely rinsed by the time I wake up. And I'm just thinking out loud here, is sugar throat a problem that needs to be discussed more on public radio? 5223295 You got sugar throat. Is it a thing? Or if you work in the medical field, what am I and thousands of people across Geelong experiencing with arthritis?
I don't think we're going to get one call supporting your sugar throat. One person out there is listening real. Right now.
So you don't get morning sugar throat?
No way.
No way.
Jeez, getting real petty, aren't you?
It's just when you're denying medicine and like the truth of, like, there would be people on medical boards right now listening appalled with what you're saying.
Yeah,
denying,
right.
Imagine if I came to you and I was like, yeah, I've got vocular nodules. And you'd be like, nah, that's not a thing. But like, people would be up in arms.
Well, Cosima DeVito would be a really niche reference.
No one brings. No one knows what you're talking about except for me, you, and Cosima DeVito. 5223295 I need one person to confirm
that
morning sugar throat is a thing when you've had delicious snacks and sugar the night before.
You wanted to know, is sugar throat a thing? And we did get a phone call before, but they didn't want to come on air.
Okay.
And they told us that they're concerned that you might have diabetes. And I know that's a big call, but they were saying that they also have diabetes and they have, like, if they have too much sugary treats the night before, they do wake up with a dry throat.
Yeah, dryness, that's a great word. Mm. Okay, so I think it's crazy for someone to call up and assume my medical history.
Can I just ask you another question, though? Before the show, minutes before the show, did you eat a whole bag of peaches and cream Allen's lollies?
I'll ask you a question in return to answer that question. Wouldn't it be so rude if someone bought you a bag of peaches and cream lollies and then you didn't show how excited and grateful you were to eat them within 10-minute
window? No, that's also fine, but I'm just
saying.
Do
you feel more appreciated because I ate them so fast?
No, I'm really glad that you enjoyed them, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, I mean, there's a few points of evidence that could could be an issue.
I've consulted an online platform, unfamiliar with the name. Apparently, sugar throat isn't actually a recognized medical condition, but there are a few things that could explain it. So one thing apparently could be acid reflux, my sugar throat.
Mm-hmm.
Could be dry mouth from during sleep. My wife says I'm a mouth breather at night time.
You would be, for sure.
It could be a post-nasal drip. It could be blood sugar swings that could be affecting it. Last one also could just be oral yeast overgrowth.
Oh, beautiful.
Which is not, not sure. It's not personally familiar that that's where yeast could populate.
Yeah, and so it definitely couldn't have been the bags of lollies that you're eating constantly.
Bag.
Today.
Bags. Oh, yes. There's over the years, there's been many. But just today, one bag for me.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
There's something that's been haunting me, and I don't use that word lightly, and I think you could agree, I think it was November last year. Again, we'd only known each other a couple of months.
Is it me?
Nah, you're kind of like a rock in a shoe. Like, you're not haunting me, but I notice you and it's really annoying.
Great.
Okay, no. I came late to work one day because I went to the city to because I was invited to film an episode as a contestant on Australia's most popular daytime / late afternoon game show with Todd Woodbridge, mm-hmm. Tipping Point Australia.
Yeah, I can't tell you how excited my mum was about this. Like, she loves Tipping Point. She watches it every single day. And the fact that our mate Tim is going to be on the big screen, embarrassing yourself in front of the nation, because as we know, you did muck up one of the questions.
Yeah, so it's funny you say your mum's excited. I think all the people that know that I went to film this episode of this game show, their first thing is like, I have to tell my mum and dad. They will be so excited because they're all hanging around at home watching these game shows. And because it's on at the Australian one's on at 5 o'clock every night, I think it's on Channel 9, and we have a TV here in the studio in case any breaking news comes through. And sometimes in the songs and the news, we'll play a bit of Tipping Point. And it's I've never been on a game show in my life. Really excited. Went up the highway. Early morning, Todd Woodbridge. I'm there on the set. Get a few questions right. I'm flying. A few discs and counters have flown over the edge. I'm making money.
Yeah, you were feeling good about
feeling
it.
Feeling good.
And until
then
you weren't.
There was a time pressure question, and it had to do with a tennis player.
Yep.
And it was like, what is the name of this tennis player that won the US Open in 2024?
Mm-hmm.
And I buzzed in before everyone else and said, Carlos Alcaraz.
Yep.
And when I said Carlos Alcaraz, there was kind of like a the audience was snickering, and that never is a great sign.
Well, of course, the actual answer is
Carlos Alcaraz.
Yes.
but it, like, again, it's a time pressured thing. It's a game show. Stakes are high. I wanted to win me some money.
You had Todd. You had the crowd pointing, laughing. Idiot.
And I think I've told you that there was one night where it did keep me. So after that, eventually, all I'll say is I didn't progress to the final round. But
which is a shame.
There was one genuine sleepless night where that moment of me saying Carlos Alcaraz and then going Alcaraz straight after, and Todd Woodbridge then made a joke in the studio audience,
laughing, holding their belly, slapping their knees.
And then getting through the Australian Open was actually quite tough for me because Carlos Alcaraz was doing quite well. So I'd see his name, I'd see him.
Now, by all reports, what you told me last November, it wasn't going to be on the screens until about November this year.
I've received an email from the Tipping Point team, and they said, Tim, just touching base to let you know that your episode of Tipping Point Australia is going to air soon. And they've given me a date.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. Let's do a screening. Everyone, let's go sit and watch Tim.
It's still a fair way away.
Great, more people. We can create a bigger event.
So here's my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what's going to be on this episode.
Yep.
I would like tomorrow for you to, because here's my thing. I'm not going to tell you when the episode is. Unless you can offer me a reason to do so. Because I know you want to watch it more than I do.
Oh, desperately.
You want it bad. So yes. I'm going to give you 24 hours to table an offer.
An offer?
So that, because otherwise we'll just be sitting here one day and then you'll look up on the screen and it'll be done. It'll be over. So I'm going to give you a 24 hours to table me an offer to let you know when this episode is going to go to air.
You're the worst,
I
dude.
Know. And you'll see that on the Tipping Point when my episode airs. So
well, I'll be
good.
Back tomorrow with
all right,
my offer.
There we go.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
When you greet your mates, when you see them out and about, when you bump into them, how do you say hello? How do you greet them?
Probably like a g'day and a hug.
A hug. Okay, so are you also a bit of a dapper? I've seen you dap around the place.
Oh, that's
a cool guy.
No, I think that's honestly just like the people at the radio station. It feels like a dap community.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm hugging someone, they're like a close friend or family member. But
yeah,
hugs or just like, you know, like a handshake or something like that. You know, like a cool,
what does a cool one sound like?
Damn it. I was really unhappy with that. Like, you know when it pops?
Yep.
It's just like.
Yeah, nice one.
That's not good.
No, it is good when that happens. It feels amazing. But look, I have a mate that has done something when they greet people for many, many years. And I think that it used to be more acceptable than it is now. But I do think now it's just not on.
All right.
He is a lip kisser.
Ah, okay, yeah.
So rather than going for someone with a kiss on the cheek, like on the side, how are you going? It's nice to see you. It is smack bang on the lips like every time.
Just a peck.
Yeah,
just
a peck. Yeah, like it's not like he's like lingering. That'd be crazy. Like, is he in love with me? Right. No. It's
and like he's been doing it so long that like friends, they know. And it's like, it's just like, yep. Mm-hmm. And then move on.
Yeah. Now, I think it's quite interesting from him. He's in a younger generation. He's actually Gen Z, this guy. Like he's a younger guy that does sure. this. But I have always noticed it in the older generation. Like my auntie Linda, she's a lip kisser. My mum is a lip kisser as well.
So like if she saw one of your cousins.
Yeah.
She would say like, oh, hi.
Yeah, like anyone that she's greeting, she would kiss on the lips most of the time, I'd say. Hi.
I did, yeah, I didn't want to bring it up, but when we met downstairs in the foyer, so we weren't having a moment.
Well, you didn't need to caress her hair and look at her so intently in the eye. Like,
well,
I mean,
she shouldn't have dipped me. Yeah. That's all I'll say. No, I've never.
And I've been calling you stepdad ever since.
I just want to get it on record in case it's not super clear. I'm yet to kiss Davo's mum.
Yeah, yet. It's good to put it out
never
there.
Never can say never. My wife and son, they probably would be stoked.
But I mean, I just think lip kissing as a greeting in 2026, we're not doing that anymore,
you lip
right?
kissing?
No, God, no. I mean, I do allow my friend and I do, my mum will every now and then get me on the lips and I hate it. But, you know, it's definitely, I don't think it's okay anymore. What do you think about this? Tell me. Let me stop rabbiting.
I am not a lip kisser for people in my life. Like, my son's accidentally kissed me on the lips once or twice and you just kind of go, oh. And, like, it's not weird.
No.
It's just not something that I ever thought about doing with kids. So, like, my wife, she's mostly on board when we see each other, which is nice.
What's the strike rate, like 70, 60%?
Yeah, it's high 60s. So, but yeah, like if, I mean,
do you have anyone
cultures.
In your life that does that? No one.
No. Oh, there's people I know that do it to their young kids. But then again, but it's like then figuring out the age. But there's not just like, oh, hey, Davo.
No,
like,
and you know, that would be wild. Please don't.
Especially with you, you know. You'd fall in love if someone kissed you on the lips, even if it's a casual greeting, I reckon. You can't tell me that there's not a truth in there.
No, there's not a truth in there. That's crazy.
All right.
But let's talk about lip kissing.
Yeah.
As a greeting, is it okay? And I'm not talking about like
your
parents
kids,
with their kids.
Yeah.
That's different. That's
so like adults.
Yeah, like as in like your mates or like your auntie or like someone around your like circle.
Okay.
When they greet you, a kiss on the lips. Are you a lip kisser? Is lip kissing okay?
Matt in Bell Post Hill, how do you feel about lip kissing?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of an old fashioned thing that. Mm. As I was explaining, I don't kiss my kids on the lips.
Yep.
I don't even really give them kisses on the cheeks. I don't even give my wife kisses on the lips.
Well,
and Matt, you said that you even didn't like doing that on your wedding day. Is that right?
Yeah, just, I don't know. I just felt, I don't know.
A bit shy?
Almost peer pressured, like back in high school, and they're like, kiss. You know, kiss Chasey. I was the one running away from all the girls.
Right.
I was that, you know, popular. So.
Okay, well.
But yeah, no, I don't kiss my mum on the lips even. Like, yeah, no. Honestly, like, you know, it's just. I don't know. I would prefer a bit of a unique handshake with a bit of a piss pump. A bit of a piss pump.
Yeah, piss pump would be crazy.
Yeah.
Well, Matt. No, you're all right, mate. We appreciate that. That's some excellent insight there into Matt. Lily in Leopold, how do you feel about lip kissing?
Not good, guys. My boyfriend's mum is a lip kisser.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, you'll cop it?
I've copped it.
Yeah. This is the thing. So it does feel like an older generation. Other than my mate, I think he's an enigma. He's got his own demons. But, like, my mum is a lip kisser. She loves to, like, anyone. She'll just, that's how she says g'day. Oh, nice to see you. Straight on the lips. And
right.
I think it's an older generation thing. What do you reckon about that, Lily?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, she puckers up and she catches me from, like, a meter away. Like, it's so full on.
She's teeing it up. She's like following those lips around. Like, I'm going to get you.
It's Tim and Davo.
Look, there's something going on with the orca whales over in Europe and I need to have a chat about it.
So orca is like killer whales, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I mean,
free willies.
Thank you. Yep.
I mean, that's, you know, that's the most famous orca whale I know. You?
Yeah, there's that. How many? That documentary called Blackfish where there's a like a Tilikin and like that was a real one. There was some bad stuff going on there with Tilikin. So Free Willy probably was a more radio friendly example. But yeah,
well, over in Europe, the orcas are rising up.
Does this have to do with billionaires' yachts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly does.
It's crazy.
Mate, have you heard in the last, I don't know, since 2020?
Okay, 6 years.
But hang on. There has been 700 encounters, interactions with orcas. Uh-huh. But in the last few years, they have sunk 7 yachts in Europe and they are now teaching other orcas to do the same.
How are they? See, it's so scary. Like, what are they doing to sink them? Because they're like, yachts are big. They're bigger than the orcas.
They're flopping around. They're knocking them over. They're knocking them around. And they are getting people in strife out in the sea.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Do you think because it's billionaires and yachts, the concern from the public is a little bit less? Because it's like, well, shut up. You're a billionaire.
Yeah, get another yacht.
You'll get another yacht. Like, if my dinghy was flattened by an orca in Corio Bay, that would devastate me. That would devastate me bad. And I feel like I could get public interest. So maybe, but it's nice to see the orcas are going for the rich and leaving the rest of us alone.
It is good. And they have traced it back and they think there might be a woman scorned that started this whole thing because there was a single female whale by the name of White Gladys. And she was the first one to sink a yacht. Now, she was starting the trend and nice. Now she's spoken to the other orcas in the sea and they've said, hey, you see these billionaires, they got heaps of cash.
Yeah, love your work, White Gladys. How can we do this? What do we need to do to get involved?
I mean, what is their problem and where do you think this is coming from? I have a theory.
I think they've seen the movie Free Willy.
Yep,
could be part of it. And they've gone, what the hell? What the hell?
Maybe
that's not good.
Like SeaWorld could be part of the issue here.
Tilikin, there we go. Again, see the documentary Blackfish.
But also, maybe they're seeing that they're selling plush toys of orcas for $40 and they're like, you know what? If we're going to be selling my image, where's my cut? And I'm going to get onto you.
Because I could be wrong here. I'm pretty sure they're trying to phase out orcas in captivity. I know in Australia, for certain, I don't think we have any. Sorry, I'm just touching.
Okay, yeah.
Don't want to get on the wrong side. But I mean, they're very smart creatures from things that I've read into them. Because, again, Blackfish.
Mm-hmm.
This has not been about this movie, but you learn so much from this documentary. And I've done my own research. And they're smart little critters. There's a place in the southern coast of New South Wales called Eden, where there were these particular orcas that would literally help humans chase whales into areas where they could get the whales because then the fishermen would give part of the whale, like, to the killer whales to eat.
Yeah,
so they were like, let's do this. And it was like Old Ted was this killer whale in Eden. There's a museum. It's real.
I like when you get your tinfoil hat on with me.
Yeah, me too.
But it has baffled scientists, it's baffled marine biologists. It's absolute, no one knows what is going on. It's no one knows what's going on, but something's happening. Okay. The orcas are rising up.
Watch this space. And Davo, to steal your line, do your own research.
Nice.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.